2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you so much. We've been able to call upon you as our Father. We do not take that lightly. As we look back in your word in the Old Testament, that terminology was very, very small. And you were shown as the great judge. And we're so thankful that we can see you in another light so vividly, as one who has given us your Son, and now we have access to you as a family member, and we can call you our Father. We pray that if there be one in this room that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, has not that privilege to call you their Father, that this day might be the day that they do exactly that. Bless and work on our hearts. Teach us truth, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When we come to this scripture, we find it begins with, "Thou therefore." I heard it said many years ago that if you see a therefore in scripture, you ought to find out what it's there for. And that kind of made sense to me because it's referencing to something previous. And in this case, we got to go back to the previous chapter. And let's go to verse 16. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." He's looking at this man, Onesiphorus, and he is looking at a marvelous ministry that he had toward the Apostle Paul. And with that in mind, he says, "Therefore, my son," and speaking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There are those, Timothy, that appreciate you. There are those who love you. There are those who also minister to you. And so be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice also here a word "be." That might be a small word, but it's something that teaches us something. And it's a word that means, well, it's in present perfect. Present perfect tense is really something that is ongoing. It's not something right now, but it's right now and it's continuing on. It's not reserved for a certain amount of time, but it's for continuation. And so when he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," it's not for the moment, it's for a lifetime. And so we need that strength at all times. And it says to be strong in grace. I look at that and I think of it in two different ways. Frankly, I don't know if one is better than the other. I just make both applications. And as he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," I think of it as an acting principle in one's life. In other words, it's being gracious. Being gracious. If there's something that you and I as God's people need, it's to learn graciousness. I mean, it's easy to be harsh. It's easy to be upset. It's easy to condemn. But to be gracious, I believe God wants that in our lives. And so he's saying, in one sense, be gracious. But another sense, I look, and it's a reliance upon the Lord for strength to accomplish his work. Now, when you and I look at the work of God and all that needs to be done, it can overwhelm us. This morning in Sunday school, and as I dealt with the things that are taking place in our country right now, and all of that can be overwhelming, and we can look and say, how in the world are we ever going to overcome this? Well, we can't, but God can. And so we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The necessity of grace, then, is not just for us, but is to teach others as well. Because it goes on in verse 2. Notice what it says in verse 2. And, what's the word and do? How many liked English when you were in school? It was your favorite subject. You couldn't wait to get to English class. I had one class of English in all my years of grade school, high school, and college that I wanted to go to. And the only reason was I was in college and she was pretty. It was a difficult, listen, English is not an easy language. But one of the things I learned, that word and, it's a conjunction. What's a conjunction do? It draws two things together. So here's a thought, another thought, if you please. Here's one sentence, another, if you please. And they are put together. Now, after the word Christ Jesus, you find a period. I was taught in school, you didn't start a sentence with and. How many were taught that? You're not supposed to start a sentence with and. Then you come to the Word of God, and you find places like this, and you'll find multitude of places where God begins a sentence with and. And so I had to look this up. Why is it that God does this when my teacher said, don't do this? It was because my teacher was ignorant of one simple thing, and that is when you want to emphasize it, you end it here and you start with a capital letter or another sentence. And so the emphasis is even greater. So he says, and the things, he's relating now to being strong, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what's he supposed to do? Commit them, or commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so the necessity of grace is to teach others to be faithful and to pass it on. That is the need of the hour. Then is the Lord here, in his marvelously inspired and preserved word, likens this strength to three different things. We find in verse number 3 and 4, he likens it unto a soldier. And then we find in verse number 5, he likens it unto an athlete. And then in verse number 6, he likens it unto the farmer. And it's interesting that each one has their own verb as well. The soldier is to endure. The athlete is to strive. And the farmer is to labor. And these three verbs, these three things of action are very similar, but they do have a little difference. Today, for this message, I want us to focus upon the very first one, that of the soldier. And there are three truths about a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ that I hope that we can see here in the next two verses. And I hope as a result of that we can make application in our lives. You know, we don't come to church just to hear something to tickle our ears. But we come that we might hear something that's going to help us in our life. I have found that one of the great things, if a preacher is preaching on salvation, I'm thinking to myself, how can I use those words and those thoughts to be a witness to somebody else? And so I try to file those away. When you get to be my age, the file cabinet gets really full and it's hard to find sometimes. And I haven't lost any of it. I just don't know where it all is. And for you who are older, it's not a matter of forgetfulness. It's a matter of, where is it at? It's like when you walk in the kitchen and you say, what did I come in here for? Because three things on the way caught your attention. And now you're at a loss. Well, anyway, we find, before you bail out on me on that one, we find that there are three things here. First of all, we find that the soldier enlists. He enlists. He wants to please the one who has chosen him. He wants to please the one who is, in his mind, of great importance. And so as he enlists, he gives his all for one grand purpose. And so the soldier of Jesus Christ, like the soldier in our armed services, is a man who wants to serve others as a soldier in our country wants to serve his country or others. It might be in the realm of protection, often it is. And he knows some things as he enlists. He knows that there are some dangers that await him. I've had the privilege on many occasions of they've not allowed, because of the COVID, for me to go over to the MEP Center and to, I don't speak to the young ones who are coming in, but to those who work there. And I'm not a chaplain based out of there, but a chaplain to them. They allow me to come in. And one of the things I have observed on a number of occasions is the little room where they take them in and they stand at attention and they raise their right hand and they take an oath. Some of you in this room, you have been there and you have taken that oath, and you've said you're going to serve and that you're going to seek to do your greatest. And I think of those young men as they're standing there, not realizing, not knowing what awaits them. They don't know what awaits them, even in training camp. They have no idea what's going to take place in the next few months or maybe in a year or two. When I was a young man, and in those days they had the draft going, and as young men went in, it was not unusual for them after 6 months of training, they would be in Vietnam fighting. Not that long before that, they'd been in the comfort of their own homes, and now they're out there sleeping in foxholes and bullets flying over their head, buddies being killed. He knows the dangers that await him, but he goes anyway. He doesn't run, he goes toward it. And so when you stop and you think about the work of the ministry, and I'll use the term missionary or pastor or evangelist or whatever term you want, they have a deep desire and they respond by enlisting. I had the privilege to sit in a number of different preacher classes in Bible college, and I remember one in particular. I don't remember which one it was, and it doesn't make any difference. But the man who, by the way, pastored a church, he walked in, and he says, "Gentlemen, why are you here?" And somebody said, "Well, I feel called to preach." And he says, "How do you know you are called to preach?" And I was glad that day my name started with an S, because he began with a guy whose name started with A. And he called him by name, and he says, "How do you know God called you to preach?" And the young man looked at him, a little bit bewildered, and he said, "Because I really, really want to. I have a desire that's burning down in my soul." And throughout that class he went. And that was the very answer that came to my soul as he asked that to that first young man. And without deviation, it was what came out of the hearts of each one of them. I come to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." I had it told to me on many occasions, if you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else, do it. Why? Because there has to be that burning desire within. And so he enlists in that. By the way, it's not just for what sometimes we call full-time ministry. But there ought to be in each of us a burning desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There ought to be that in our soul. And we list in that and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Do whatever it is you want me to do. Notice, secondly, in verse 3, it's very vivid to us, and that is, they are to endure hardness. What's a good soldier? One enlists and one who endures. And we find here, it says, endure hardness. I don't think there's probably anything easy about being a soldier. It's hard work. The training is rigorous. It's excruciating at times. We had a young man that he was not exempt from the draft, and so he got drafted. And this was back in the late 60s. And because he got drafted, he decided, well, I'm not going to go to the Army. I'm going to join the Marines. And so he went down to the Marine office, said, hey, they've drafted me to the Army, but I won't come to the Marines. And they worked it out, and he joined the Marines. We got a letter from him after about 3 weeks, and he said, we just had a class, and he said we were fighting hand-to-hand combat, and we were using, rather than knives, we were using garden hoses. And he talks about it in some detail, and he won in his class. He'd been ridiculed about being one who, when he sat down to eat, would bow his head and pray. He got ridiculed when he picked up his Bible and read it at night, but they didn't ridicule him anymore. But that was hard, hard training that they did. The discipline is to generate complete obedience to the commander. When he says go, you go. Your will is totally lost to the will of your supervisor. Is that not what God expects of you and I? Thou therefore, in other words, Timothy, listen, you need to be like that soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word endure means there is not going to be any time for AWOL. You're not going to be absent without leave. That's not going to take place. The Bible says, quit you like men. You know what that means, fellas? That means you don't quit until the job's done. Weaklings quit when the job gets tough, but men don't quit. It means they endure, they keep on going. Have you found there are things that are difficult? I mean, some things, they start out enjoyable. Somebody goes out, they want to play basketball. Boy, they've been down the playground, they've shot baskets. I'm going to go out for a team. And so they go out for a team, and they never shoot basketballs. They run, and they run, and they run. Then they give them a ball and have them play catch, and they run and play catch. And I mean, it's over and over and over and over again. And quite frankly, it's easy to quit. And it's hard to keep going. And so he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier often goes without sleep or even food at times to eat. He has an enemy that often he can't see. And many times in his mind and in practicality, the enemy is stronger than himself. And yet to quit is to be captured and maybe even tortured. Listen, ministry is not easy. Ministry is difficult. And so the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, endure hardness. Paul understood it. We go back to the book of Corinthians and we find all the things that he had endured. I mean some physical things that he endured. You'll be misunderstood sometimes or much time. Somebody's going to break your heart as they fall away from the Lord. Others express anger and bring about it in very hurtful manners. Well, others, you find their fearfulness and you're fearful for them. You have all of these things, but you endure, you keep on keeping on. I remember one preacher, as he preached, he said, don't quit until there's a good place to quit. And then he named all the places where you can't quit. And when he got done, I didn't find a place where I could quit. And that's exactly what he was trying to get across. We quit when God takes us home. That's when we quit. There might be some changes along the way, but we never quit for God. Not too awful many miles from here, across our state, on into the state of Illinois, an elderly lady sits in an assisted living complex. She can no longer get out on her own. Pretty well confined to her apartment. A woman who's loved God all of her life. Matter of fact, her husband and she did what Brother Kimball did, established deaf works all across the country. Her husband had been gone for many years. The day I got baptized, I'd been embarrassed because I was put it off so long. I walked out the door and there she was and her husband with big smiles on her face and come and hugged me and shook my hand. If you're to walk down the hall where she lives at, you may well get hollered at. Not meanly, but inviting you to come in so she can share the gospel with you. At times she'll pick up the phone and make random phone calls just to see if somebody will talk to her. Has her ministry changed? Yeah, but she's still at it. She's still doing it. And things change, and many of you, you're getting older and things are more difficult. But God's not finished with you. We endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And one last thought in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you and I are going to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be entangled. We must enlist. We must endure. But we must not entangle ourselves with this life. Jesus said something in chapter 9 of the book of Luke, verse 62. It says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he was saying? You cannot get entangled with the affairs of this life. It doesn't work. You have one objective, one goal. That is to please God. It's not to please self. It's not to please others. It's to please the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, the Lord Jesus said that we could not serve two masters. For either we'd hate one and love the other. And listen, to serve two masters is to make a tangled mess. He doesn't want us to be entangled. The objective is Christ and Christ alone. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You become a soldier by enlisting. You're saying, as the prophet Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me. By the way, you'll not say that until you hear the voice of God. And the reason so many don't hear the voice of God is they have their ears closed to the Bible. It lays empty in their house. The preaching is just so many words. And it's all blanked out. But when we hear the voice of God, here am I, send me. What is a good soldier? One endures. There's no good quitting place. Do things change? Yes. We grow, things change. You drive around this city as I do sometimes, and you think of what sat here at one time and what's there now. There are some places I've seen buildings change two or three times in my lifetime. Things change. But by the way, The lot where they sat still there. And you and I, we got to just keep on going, endure. And he doesn't get entangled. He puts his hand to the plow and keeps on keeping on. Keeps on keeping on. I was talking to Brother Stringer. And I was talking to him about, he and I both have many friends who have retired. Matter of fact, Brother Stringer retired from the pulpit, or from the pastorate. And as we were talking, he said, I have found a truth. He said, for the next guy to be successful, the first one has to leave. I said, you just answered my question I've had for years. Because I know where I'm staying. The way you're going to get me out of this pulpit is to carry me out in a box. I don't know when that'll be. There's days I think it's going to be now. God didn't call me to retire from his business. Keep on keeping on. Am I slower? Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah. Are the things that I can't do now that I used to do? That ain't even half of it. Do you know if there's something on the floor, I have to have three or four really good reasons to get down for it? You know, there's a piece of paper there. All of a sudden, it becomes really lovely. That's God's artwork. He planned it that way by some little kid. He has dropped it there. I think what I need is one of these things you push around like a walker that you can sit down on, but it needs to be one that also will push you up out. Things change. But we keep on going. Amen? And we don't allow all the things of this world to entangle us. That's what the devil will do in your life. Try to get you all wrapped up in stuff. You say, well, I got to be wrapped up in stuff. Hey, listen, I understand you got to work for a living. But do you ever think about this? The Apostle Paul was a tent maker and an evangelist at the same time. He was what you might call bivocational for a time. Because in reality, what we understand is, I don't care what it is you're doing, you can be doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. For His honor and for His glory. And allowing Him to use you. Good soldier. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because I guarantee you, without the grace of God, your enemy will defeat you. You're going down if you don't cling to Jesus. It's that simple. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We have this blessed privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we don't understand why you have even wanted us. And yet because of it, so many in this room have entered into your service. They have given themselves for it. Some in this room who perhaps need to. Perhaps there's somebody here who needs to be even more just accepting you. I pray you might bless in these moments. Have your way and will. Glorify yourself, for I pray in Christ Jesus.